Here's my theory. Y'all tell me if it's right or not. My theory is that there were breakfast burritos out in the cafe, and y'all have been here for 20 minutes, but you couldn't pull away from that breakfast burrito. Is that true? Okay. I'm asking for a friend. Are there any left? I'm just asking for a friend because there are some things in this world that I cannot resist. One of them is donuts, and one of them is breakfast burritos. So I want to give a special shout-out to Felicia Castro. Thank you, Ms. Felicia, for bringing all of those. I know that Eddie made those at home, right? Hey, and I want to recognize you, too, first of all, for your fashion sense. I love that. That is awesome. Let's go CJ Stroud. Get out there, rep the Lord still. And Texans, let's have a great season. All right. And I also want to mention, hey, 7 years of marriage that you guys celebrated anniversary yesterday. Can we hear it for the Castros? And I don't always have a chance to do this because we got around the cover on Sunday mornings, and sometimes I'm just a little scatterbrained. But I do know of one of your favorite church members, and one of my favorite church members is having a birthday today. Miss Anna Martez, are you having a birthday today? Now, can you just stand up for us, Miss Anna? She's always one of your favorite people. Like, I know this. Like, she's the sweetest. The sweetest, kindest, most loving, wonderful person. God bless you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Miss Anna. Happy birthday to you. Y'all left me out there. What was that with that? God bless you. You know what? We love having you and your family as a part of our church. Y'all are such an incredible blessing. All right. Well, thank you so much. And before I go any further, I do want to mention to you, our church mom is back here on this back row right over here. She's the one who makes this banana pudding, and we love her. Would you wave at everyone, please? Okay. This is Miss Roseanne. And not only can you love her for her banana pudding and her sweet spirit and all those wonderful things, but you can love her because if you're here for the first or second time, she has your Starbucks gift card from us to you. You don't have to go to get coffee with me. I'll buy your coffee from a distance, and you are welcome. So there you go. You don't have to put up with me, but you get the coffee. This is the best of both worlds. She's got those gift cards. It's got my card on the back with my cell phone number. And if there's anything that I can do to help you or be a blessing to you, please let us know. And that's there with Miss Roseanne. She'll be there and kind of wandering around the back and ready for meeting up with you if you're here for the first, second, or third time. Okay. All right. All right. So we've gotten rid of all of the kiddos. So now it's time to get to the nitty-gritty. This is some crazy business that we're talking about here with David, right? And we've been talking about how David is the man after God's own heart, and that we've always put in that title that he is far from flawless. And by the way, if you're wondering, they did an update on our computer with our presentation software. That's why for the last 3 weeks we have had problems. Can I get an amen? Like, updates are from the devil. Can I get an amen? Right? I hate updates. But yes, so if it's a little glitchy or a little problem or whatever, that's what's going on. We're doing our very best to work through all of the things that they fixed. All right? So anyway, we're doing our best. But today's, you know, as we're talking about these chapters that we have been covering over the last few weeks, I've been trying to let you know so you can follow along in the book called David, A Man of Passion and Destiny by Charles Swindoll. He titles this chapter on David and Bathsheba and this terrible incident that happens. He titles this The Case of the Open Window Shade. Because if you were listening to what Eric read, David is on a balcony and he oversees some of the things that are a little lower than his balcony level in his palace. And it just so happens that at this time that he walks out onto the balcony, he sees a woman who is bathing. And that, of course, we know she's naked. She's also incredibly beautiful. And so that's a problem, all right? I'm just going to tell you guys real quick. I'm going to be very, very, very bone level honest with it, all of this, because I feel like this is an incredibly important thing that we don't talk about enough. We don't talk about male sexuality, female sexuality nearly as much from this stage, not because we don't want to, but because we don't want to constantly be harping on this. But I'm going to really get bone level honest with you guys today. I'm going to do some challenging of you guys and ladies, all right, that all of you are definitely in need of, like, hearing these things for yourself or for others. Or if it's not for yourself today, it may be for yourself in the next few weeks or months. Because the truth of the matter is that for me personally, and I will tell you about me personally, Me personally, I have things under control sometimes for days, weeks, and even months, and then out of nowhere, something rises up and it tries to grab a hold of me and control me and take me away from the things that I have pledged myself to and the people that I have pledged myself to. I know it's just me. Y'all don't need to say amen. Trust me. Shelly has been warned. She already knows. This is for you and for me. It's for all of us. But it is going to be level, honest, and it is going to be hard-hitting. That means it may be uncomfortable, but if you would do me the service and the favor, lean in a little bit to the honesty and allow yourself to hear those things that might be difficult to hear, and your natural reaction may be to put up defenses. I'm here to save your life. I'm here to save your life. Some of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. This thing that happened with David, this man after God's own heart, is something that we all have had probably some ripple effect in our own lives. If you don't know my story is that I have Ward and June Cleaver for parents, right? My dad is a pastor. He's still with my mom. It's Ward and June Cleaver for parents. And so you might look at me and go, oh, he's fine. Well, I have Maury Povich for grandparents, okay? I mean, they're the people that fought and had all the craziness going on, and my dad stepped out of that and said, I'm going to break this cycle. And so I'm a beneficiary of his strength and character, but don't think that it didn't affect me, because it still affects me even to this day and others. So we have to be honest. And I'm going to tell you something. There are people that you know that have made a shipwreck of their life because they could not get their sexuality under control. And for some of you, you're living in the backwash, not of your own sin, but in the sin of other people. And for some of you, you are on the verge of making yourself a shipwreck, and I'm here to save your life so that you do not do something that you will regret for the rest of your life. So I'm sharing this stuff with you. I'm being as honest and as hard-hitting as I can, but doing it with as much grace as I possibly can. So if I miss the mark, please give me a little grace back, and I'll do my very best to make this clear and honest and vulnerable, but also something that actually can help you and I to change. So we've been talking about David as a man after God's own heart, and he is that. We have a long list of things about him being a man after God's own heart, and those things that are we see there on slide number 7. And so let's just take a look at this long list. You see that he was humble after Goliath. He served Saul, a man who hated him. He served him wholeheartedly. He ran from Saul rather than stood up to him for almost 10 to 14 years, even though he was the anointed king of Israel yet to be. He refused to kill Saul, and I even talked about that happening 2 different times, and you guys might remember those stories. He is the writer of 75 of the Psalms at very least. He was kind to Mephibosheth, the man who was crippled in his own legs and feet, who was a member of Saul's house. And he prioritized the ark of God and bringing it back. And all of this stuff, and that's not even the whole list. I talked about how he was a spiritual tide turner. And then we talked in the future about how he desired to build God a temple, and God said no. But David still did something amazing, and you'll hear about that in the next couple of weeks. And by the way, we're going to get done with this series in about the next 4 to 5 weeks. And I know that seems like a long time, but there are so many lessons and so many things that we can hear and learn from David that I think it will be a blessing to you. So let's go to our next slide. And as you see here, we've been talking about he is a man after God's own heart. But I have said over and over and over again that he is, what's that last line there at the end? He's far from flawless. Today, his flaws are on full display. This is the spot where things really turn for David, and it's never, unfortunately, the same. And so we've been talking about far from flawless. That is today's message title, David, far from flawless. Let's go to our next slide, if you don't mind. And I just want to remind you that your decisions determine your story. I want to say that again. Your decisions determine your story. And this is so important that we never lose sight that usually things do not happen to us whenever we're in the driver's seat and making these decisions. And those things that determine our stories and come back on us are from us and from our own decisions. And so we got to be very careful that we do not allow ourselves to be people who are making the wrong decisions, and it's determining that story that will be told about us. Let's keep moving. And as we do, we see to this next slide something that I kind of sketched out here, okay? Nothing in any way like graphically cool, okay? But it's hopefully very clear. Chuck Swindoll says in his book that if you looked at David's trajectory of his life before this episode with Bathsheba, it is almost like a house where it is nothing but up, and then suddenly it is nothing but down after. And the pinnacle and the thing that is the turning point is this thing with Bathsheba. And I want you to look very closely there. It happens at about age 50. Now, you might think that David and Bathsheba might have happened somewhere around age 30, 35, 40, whatever, but it is not. David is about 50 years old when this happens, and unfortunately, he lives for the next 20 years in the backwash of the things that he does here, and unfortunately, the trajectory of his life has been nothing but up at this point. This incident happens, this decision is made, and from here, it's nothing but difficulties and consequences for the rest of his life. All right, let's go to our next slide, if you don't mind. And as we do, I don't want you to miss this. We often allow molehills to grow into mountains, and we bring huge trouble upon ourselves through disinterest, disregard, or disobedience. It can be any one of those three. And if this happened with David, it surely can happen with you and with me. He was a man after God's own heart. God had revealed himself in amazing ways, and yet here he makes a terrible, terrible choice through disobedience and also through disregard. And I want to kind of share a little bit about that. So let's go to our next slide, if you don't mind. Here is our big idea. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Now, I don't know about you. I will tell you about me. As I look at this passage of Scripture, first of all, that is word for word from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. But as I look at that verse of Scripture, the word that jumps out to me is the word vigilance. Do any of you guys see that? Y'all, is that the one that jumps out to you? I'm just curious. Because to me, it's just a different kind of word. And I almost wanted to change it, but I think I wanted to leave it in there because, A, it's exactly what the Scriptures say, and I can't improve on the Scriptures. But, B, it reminds us that you cannot just be haphazard in your way of guarding your heart and guarding your integrity. The truth is that you and I have to keep our heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. In other words, your life begins with the condition of your heart, and it flows out from there. So it's so incredibly important that we keep that and keep watch over it all the time. All right, now, I want us to share this and say this together from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. So on the count of three, if you don't mind, let's read the big idea, and then we'll move on, okay? On the count of three, ready? 1, 2, 3. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. All right, let's keep moving to our next slide. And as we do, this is something that Andy Stanley says, and again, just really powerful. He says, culture will bait you to the threshold of self-destruction, then judge you for stepping through the door. I'm going to say it one more time, and then I want to go just a little deeper. Culture will bait you to the threshold of self-destruction, and then they will judge you for stepping through the door. In other words, it is so true, if you haven't thought about it, here's what I mean. Just in the area of finances, they will make fun of you if you don't drive the nice car, right? They'll make fun of you because you don't drive a nice enough car, but then they will make fun of you and crucify you for filing bankruptcy for driving a car that you didn't afford, right, that you couldn't afford. You understand what I'm saying? So they push you to the edge of making the wrong decision, and then they kill you for making the wrong decision. You know, if I say to somebody, well, I'm just being very, very careful because I don't want to spend time alone with a woman who is not my wife in a private place, they'd be like, what do you think you are? Who do you think you are? I think I'm a man. I think I got to be careful. I think I've got to be vigilant at all times that I do not open any door that might get my heart affected in some way that takes me the wrong direction. So I start talking about that, and they're like, who does this guy think he is? He's like some holier than thou, or he thinks he's Brad Pitt, like nobody can resist him. You know, I mean, trust me, I know I'm not. All right, I get that. But all of that said, they kill you for putting up boundaries, but then the moment that you cross this boundary that you didn't want to cross in the first place, then they're going to turn around and make fun of you and kill you and crucify you for being a person who couldn't keep it together when you should have. Now, y'all with me? Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Can I get an amen? Amen? And I mean, I can go on and on. Like, I could go on and on. But in the area of entertainment, man, what? You don't watch those kinds of movies? You don't rent rated R movies? You don't watch rated R movies when you're not alone? I mean, what's up with that? You know, like, what's your big deal? It's just a movie. Don't be silly. But man, I'm going to tell you something. Here's where I'm going to get really, really, really vulnerable. I have a problem. I got to be very, very careful that that stuff isn't available to me. And you're like, Randy, you got the internet. It's available, bro. And I know. It's a weird thing in my head. I have a church computer, but I don't have a personal computer. And it's a weird thing in my head that I can't bring myself to something that the church and God's money has paid for to search for the wrong kind of movies. Y'all know what I'm saying? I don't know why that's a weird fence in my head. It just is. And a few years back, they asked me, they said, well, hey, listen, HBO and Cinemax are free for the next month and a half, you know, or next 2 months or whatever, next 3 months, whatever it was. And so they told me, they said, hey, it's free. And I said, you know, if you don't mind, I just don't want that. Thank you. I'll just stick with the basic cable package and stuff. That's fine. But with the basic cable package renewal, it comes with free HBO, Cinemax, and, you know, whatever, Showtime. That's what it was. And I'm like, no, I'm good, you know. And I'm back and forth with this guy on the phone. No kidding. I promise to you this is a real conversation, not a made-up one. And the guy says three or four times, it's free. Just take it for free. And I think what he thought was, I'm one of those people who do the trial run and forget to cancel. Can I get an amen? I mean, it's not just me. Like, I'm still paying for something that I thought was a good idea 3 years ago and haven't looked at for that long as well. Can I get another amen on that? Okay. So I think that's what he was worried about and thought that was going on in my head. And I was getting more and more frustrated because, honestly, I was kind of proud of myself for standing up because I had already been down this road before. I had already been down this road before where cable that I didn't pay for took me down a very dark hole. Now, I don't need to get more specific, I don't think. I think y'all are with me. So the guy says to me, but it's free. And I said, okay, so listen, if you don't mind, I don't want it, and I'll just tell you why. I'm a Christian, and I take my faith pretty seriously. And there's stuff on there that I don't trust myself to have availability to by myself late at night. And so I don't want it. If it doesn't cost me a dime, it's going to cost me everything if I'm not careful. And so the guy just gets real quiet on the other end. And he goes, wow, I can't believe you said that. I don't know what to tell you. And I didn't go into the fact that I've been there and done that, and I've got some scars to prove it. But ultimately, what I tried to convey to him is that needs to be a guardrail of my life, that doesn't make it into my life. And if I can keep it at bay, and if I can keep it at a distance, that's a better me. That's a better pastor. That's a better husband. That's a better father. That's a better Randy, just friend, on and on down the line. And so I share that with you, not because I'm trying to lessen this, not because I'm trying to pat myself on the back, because I'm here to tell you I've failed. This is not news to Shelley, by the way, okay? This is something that she's known. But I told you I want to get real serious and real specific and real clear that this stuff is dangerous. And by the way, I know that many of you ladies are thinking to yourself, it's dangerous for men because they're the ones who access pornography and stuff like that. But the truth of the matter is that the rise among pornography is not mostly among men. It's happening among women. there is more, there are more women than ever before in history accessing pornography, and men, we've always been on that street corner, no offense, guys. This just has been on our street corner forever. Somebody wanted me to stay there for just a minute longer, give you guys just a quick break. But here's what I will say to you. Here's what Chuck Swindoll says in this passage of Scripture, and then I want to talk about it and get real specific. If you don't mind going to our next slide here. Chuck Swindoll says, David didn't fall suddenly. Clearly, David realized his God-given privilege. He realized that the hand of God was on him, and he realized that the Lord's blessings were abundant. But there were areas of private neglect beginning to take their toll, and I want you to pay a special attention to areas of private neglect. Now, let's go to our next slide, and I want to talk a little bit about this. We've talked about guardrails. I've preached this sermon series twice, which I've never really done until actually this David series, which is now twice through. But a guardrail is a personal thing that you set up as a standard of behavior that direct us and protect us from damage. So if you guys take a look at this and see how many of you have ever driven down the road where you hear that, you know what I'm talking about? Frank rode with me yesterday back from the, he's laughing because I did that thing a lot. I was like, you know, I just like sound, Frank, that's all. But yeah, you can see the guardrails on this picture, but you can also know the little things on the side of the road. Why? Because if you bump a guardrail, you might bump back in. But if you do not, you are in serious danger very, very quickly. I have told my wife, guys, I still want to be your friend, but I'd rather be your pastor first. I'm sorry to do this to you. But my wife has my code for my phone. She can look at my stuff anytime she wants to. Because I figured out a long time ago that I needed that as a guardrail. Because you know what? In my phone probably won't go places that it ought not go and that I actually really don't want it to go most of the time if I know that she can go back and look through it anytime she wants. And she can ask me, how are you doing in that area? And I have promised, with a solemn promise, to tell her the truth. And she has asked me, and there have been times where it was a really good report, and then there are times where I had to say, look, I'm probably 8 out of 10 where I need to be, but I'm not 10 out of 10. I told y'all this was going to be honest. I told y'all this was going to be vulnerable. Now, here's what I would share with you. You're not going to make it, and you're not going to fix it by yourself. She is part of my accountability, but she has never been all of my accountability. I'm going to talk more about that later on. Let's keep moving here, and let's talk about this as we go to our next slide here. This is our something to learn. David had an elite fighting force known as the 30 and as the 3. They're like his Green Berets or SEAL Team 6. And many of them had been with him all the way back to his cave-dwelling days, like age 30. And one of them might have been and probably was Uriah the Hittite. He'd probably known him and loved him for 30 years. He literally put his hands in the hand, or put his life in the hands of somebody like Uriah the Hittite. But then when Uriah went away to war, David stayed home. He's out on his balcony trying to probably cool down, get air in the warm Israelite night. And as he does, he looks down and he sees a woman who is close to the palace, close enough for him to recognize that she's not wearing anything and close enough to realize that she's very beautiful. Now, back in that time, you didn't have just anybody living near you. Because it wasn't like, hey, Uriah, jump in the Bronco and get over here as quickly as you can, right? You needed them close by with a shout. You didn't text somebody and say, please come over and protect me. Your strongest fighters, your mighty men were close to you, keeping you safe at all times. You surrounded yourself with that fence of men. Uriah was one of those people. Turns out, the person that they should have not, that he should have been afraid of, was not out there, but in here. You see what I'm saying? So Uriah was one of the 30, noted in Scripture, further evidenced by his proximity to that palace. And remember, David saw Bathsheba from his balcony. So as we continue here, And as we go on a little further, 2 Samuel chapter 11, this is like the the little boy Randy, age 7, wants to say, see, it's her fault too. That's because I had two older sisters and I wanted them to get in trouble, not just me. But here, if you thought to yourself, well, maybe she shouldn't have been taking a bath out there. Well, okay, all right, fine. Ladies, I would recommend taking your baths inside. That's just me, okay? All right? But if you go to this situation, her husband's gone. And she expects David to be gone because he's always been gone until that time. But today, he's not. He's doing something different. She's probably doing the very same thing that she's always done. It's just that he's not ever been there to see it until he stayed home instead of going out with the other kings. So David remains in Jerusalem. I want you to notice that. And it happened there that he sees this beautiful woman bathing. So this is what's going on. It's not her fault. And by the way, the next time you read in the scriptures or anywhere else that it was cool to say no to the king and there were no repercussions, probably won't find that. You see what I'm saying? And what we would call this these days is sexual harassment because he had the power position and he took advantage of her and he made her an adulteress because of his desire as the king. And unfortunately, to go really deep, David betrayed one of the men who probably had protected his life. This is pretty ugly for David. It's pretty ugly because it's not easy to see our hero being out-heroed. It's probably pretty hard for you to think about our hero in the same way from this point forward because he had a friend who he knew he could trust well enough to be that close to the palace, and then he turned around and betrayed him, and then not just betrayed him, but then had him killed to cover it up. This is getting ugly for David really fast. Let's go to our next slide. All right. So how do we avoid private neglect? Because I think that's very important that we saw there, the Swindoll quote, there were areas of private neglect that were beginning to show signs in David's life. I'm here to tell you that nobody falls overnight. Nobody falls overnight. It seems that way, but it never happens. It's already started happening. Guess where first? In your heart. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow all of the springs of life. The story that I want to tell is the one that is a lot closer to my father's story than my grandfather's story. So I have to make choices. You too have to make choices. Ladies, you too have to make choices. Men, you too have to make choices about what story you will tell. And I encourage you to be very, very vigilant. Begin here with your heart. Put up guardrails. Let's talk about how you can avoid private neglect. First of all, you see your responsibilities not as chains, but as channeling a river. The truth is that we all know, we've all seen, we've lived here in Houston long enough to see what happens when the river overflows its banks. But, you know, if you bring it into a channel and then you stick a dam on the end and locks and various things, you can power cities with that kind of force. But if it just is dissipating and going wherever it wants, whenever it wants, it's nothing but a disaster. Are you guys with me? In your life and my life, don't hate that you don't have tons of time on your hands, because you guys remember the old words that idle hands are the devil's workshop. Man, I'm telling you, David commits this sin and does terrible, terrible things to cover it up. All because instead of being where he should have been, he stayed home. We don't know why. The Bible doesn't tell us. But maybe David thought, you know, I'm 50. I can't do what I used to do. So I'm just going to not do it today. Or maybe he thought to himself, I've earned this. And let me tell you something. If you ever hear yourself saying out loud, or you hear yourself saying in your mind, I've earned this, I want you to know something. You're going down a dangerous path. Because when you believe you've earned something that you have not yet gained, most of the time that means your heart is not in line with humility from the verticality that it needs from the one who actually gives all good and perfect gifts. So I share that with you to be listening for that guardrail. So David's responsibilities were not chains, but he looked at them that way and walked away from them, and that's when it got dangerous. Let's go to our next slide. And this is, I think, our second thing. We got to get really serious about knowing and controlling what's really going on with us privately. Can I tell you something? I have a friend who walked away from a family of four. He was a pastor, walked away from the thing that God had called him to do. He walked away from that for a woman who had caught his eye. And I asked him in the aftermath and in the backwash, and he and I were very, very close at one time in our life. And I asked him flat out, I said, how are you doing? And I want you to listen to what I'm saying. I will tell you exactly what he said. He said, I've thrown everything in my life away. How do you think I'm doing? I mean, that's when you go, yeah, stupid question, I'm sorry. But that's what he said to me, and it's always stuck with me. A dumb decision, a foolish choice, made one after the other, after the other, after the other, and finally crosses a line that costs him everything. I've thrown everything in my life away. How do you think I'm doing? Can I tell you when the move should have been made? Well before he crossed that line. He should have heeded and heard the guardrails, and he should have had the guardrails. And I will tell you flat out, he did. But he didn't listen. He didn't listen. All right, let's go on here as we go forward. I want to just share this. And I want you to know this is a thing that I heard from author and apologist G.K. Chesterton. He said this, every man or woman that knocks on a brothel door is actually looking for God. And you may say, Randy, they ain't looking for God there, I'm telling you. But actually, they truly are. They're looking to fill a hole that God alone can fill. And it seems like pleasure or sex can fill that hole, but it will not. And let me tell you why I say that. Did you? I don't think that was me, but it may have been. Maybe it's me. Maybe I got hips that don't lie, and every time I sit down, I need a little levity. Thank you guys for laughing. So here's what they said, and here's what they found. People access pornography when they are bored, angry, and tired more often than anything else. Notice that I didn't say sexually aroused. That's a term you didn't think that you'd hear today from your pastor, but there it is. When they're bored, they're angry, or they're tired. Why? Because there's something that's missing, and I want to fill it. And here's this thing. And by the way, if you will resist an urge that is unhealthy, whether that's food or sex or anger, words of anger, if you will resist that urge for about 20 minutes, it dissipates dramatically. Dramatically. And so I encourage you, 20 minutes of resistance will usually buy you the integrity that you want. But you have to fight for about 20 minutes, like everything else in the world depends on it. So you're looking to fill a hole that cannot be filled with the things that you're trying to fill it with. You're looking for God, and He's not there on sex.com or wherever. Let's keep moving. As we do, we see here Uriah. The hero of this story is Uriah. Here, Uriah says to David, first of all, I'm not going down to my wife's house, but I'll tell you why. Because that woman is beautiful, and I'm lonely. And if I go, I'm going to do something with my own wife that I don't want to do. Now, it would have been legal, it would have been fine, it would have been good. And that's why David wanted them back. But he said instead, I have come from a battlefield. I'm a fighting man. I'm a soldier. I can't go down to my wife's house without doing something that I know I'm going to regret, even though it's good. And by the way, I'll change your life with this one statement. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Change your life right there if you listen to it. Just because you can does not mean you should. So Uriah says, why do I not want to go down? Because the ark And Israel and Judah are out there fighting a battle. And I'm not going to go home and be comfortable. He says, my Lord Joab, my commanding officer is still out there waiting. My fellow soldiers are still out there waiting. And you, King, I don't know why you're here in the palace instead of out there with us. But that's where I am, and that's where I belong. It's not down there with my wife. So I'm not doing that. He put up a guardrail for himself because these were the things that he believed in first and valued above that momentary moment of passion with his wife. With his own wife, for goodness sake. But he put values and principles above passion. And it's so vital for us. Most of us are putting passion above principles over and over and over again. And when we do, we are destroying our own integrity and our own self-worth, much less damaging the reputation of the Lord. I'll give you one more thing real quickly, a hidden intended. Pornography use in very short times, like within the last week, is about 64% outside of the church. You know what it is inside the church? It goes all the way down to 62%. And that breaks my heart. Let's keep moving. You don't always make your immediate easy without sacrificing those things that are actually important. If you value immediate over important, you will always have something that you're scrambling from and wanting to lie about. Because truth be told is your life is not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be hard. Especially when you're living the way that you're supposed to be living. And when that happens, you will be proud, but it will not ever be easy. Now, let's keep moving because my time is just about done. Let's choose important things over immediate things instead. So here, David, if wisdom can crack through the difficulty, he can say, I have already screwed up my legacy in crazy ways, but I'm not going to be a murderer. But he didn't, did he? He sent Uriah, and he may as well have killed him with his own sword, because that's exactly what happened. He got killed by the sword of those who were his enemies. And then this next slide, as we go on a little further, you notice here, the morning David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of who? Uriah. Uriah is such a man of integrity that he knows that I can write out his own death warrant, stick it in his hand, say, take that to your commanding officer, and he knows that he's going to do it, and he won't even look. That's the man Uriah was. That's the man that David used to be, wishes he still was. You see, these sacrifices and these compromises make us men and women that we are not proud of being. So I share with you, I've put all of this out. Now I want to talk about where we go to get it fixed. You already know it's to the Lord, but I want to talk a little about some very, very specific things. Let's keep going here. And here, we see here that we can never walk alone. We talk about doing life together. Here is what we need to do. We need to find somebody that we can grab and say, come and help me on this road. Keep me accountable. If you need to lose weight, one of the best things that you can do is ask somebody, give them permission to ask you hard, difficult, rude questions. How dare you ask me what I had for dinner and whether or not I had dessert, right? Well, Randy, you said you wanted to lose weight. Oh, yeah, I did say that. I just wish I hadn't said that, right? But when I know I've got to answer that question, guess what? When the dessert tray comes by and everything's looking so delicious, painted up, like literally painted, right? And you're like, whoo, look at that cheesecake. And I'm just talking about me here. All right, I'm just talking about me. Look at that cheesecake. But you know what? Dadgummit. Peter Robinson is going to ask me tomorrow if I had cheesecake or not. He knows my weaknesses. I'm probably a lot more apt to say, I'll just pass. And if I really wanted to get serious, I'd tell Donna Jones to ask me those questions. But, man, there's got to be limits. Can I get an amen? All right, so here we go to our next slide. Sorry, y'all. Here's the problem. David has a guardrail, but he plows right through it. Did you hear it? I don't know if you heard it. But David sent and inquired about the woman. And the man comes back and he goes, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" That's not how things were said in those days. That last part, "the wife of Uriah the Hittite," was not normally said. He's trying in every way that he can to tell David, "You are running through a barrier. It doesn't take a genius to figure out why you want to have Uriah the Hittite come at 11 o'clock at night. I mean, I've seen her. I know. That's Uriah's wife that you're summoning to the palace. O king, humbly, please don't kill me." And David says, "Go get her. Bring her here. Doesn't matter." So the guardrail was there, but the problem was he thought he was above answering for his actions. If you want real wisdom, here it is. You and I have to be accountable to somebody, or we will be accountable to nobody, because my heart tells me everything I want can somehow be justified. So I've got to figure it out, and then I've got to do those things that make me accountable to somebody else. And I'm going to tell you guys something. I love you. I love you guys. I cannot be the accountability partner for you, because I am your pastor. You can choose from 7.15 billion people minus one that can be your accountability partner, but not me. I want to be your pastor, and I don't want you to stop coming to church where you can have your life changed because you don't want to answer the question, "How are things going?" Because I might just be asking, "How are things going?" And you might be going, "How are things going?" You see? So you find somebody, but it can't be me. Not because I don't love you, not because you don't need it, but because that's how it has to be. And as we keep going here to our next slide, pastor and author Brandon Gutson said these words: "David defeated Goliath, but he lost to Bathsheba. Our real giants are the desires that we haven't killed yet." So it's not Bathsheba's fault that David fell, but it's David's fault that David fell. And he knew that he had a giant that he probably couldn't win over. We can go into it. Don't have time. But I'm here to tell you, it's never good to lose to a giant. And they may be giants out there, but it's never okay. I'm not saying this stuff because it's easy. And now that we've talked about it, everything's going to be cool. That's not it. There's hard battles yet to be fought, but I encourage you to let this day be a catalyst that actually changes you from whatever road you are on. Now, I've talked a lot about sexuality and sin in that vein, but I know that's not the only sins that we've got here. And I'm not here to point out your sin. I'm not here to parade mine. But I'm here to say that we have to get real serious about guarding our heart with all vigilance, because from it flow all of the springs of life. The life I want is not down the path that is easy. It is down the path that is right. And I have to choose it today. And I have to choose it this afternoon. And I have to choose it tomorrow. And again and again and again. But that's when the momentum begins to build, and God has time in my life to change my life when I let that happen. So, I'm going to get super specific. Go to this next slide if you don't mind. I have a friend. He has 24/16 ministries. His name is Robert. He is supported by this church because this is powerful and important work that he is doing. He has a ministry called 24/16 from Proverbs 24:16 that says, "Though a righteous man falls seven times, he will get up eight times." And so here we see that you can go down the road of recovery with somebody leading you, taking you, and going down that path with you. And if you are just about to get a text from me, guess what it's going to be? It's going to be his name, his number, and his ministry that hits your phone at 11:59 today. Because I'm very serious. All you have to do is to sign your name first and last, and send it to him with that number that's in the text. It's the 469 number. my friend from in the Dallas area, and he will do Zoom Bible studies with you and lead you down a path that leads to recovery, and you cannot do it alone. But you can, with God's help and with accountability to a Christian brother or sister, do it and make it. So how do you apply this message? Oh, you've already got the text. So did I. I hope you did. If you didn't, get on my text line, please. All right? So look at your own life. Get on the 24/16 Ministries Integrity text list, and then join that 90-day class if you have an issue. By the way, I'm not in that class, so you don't have to be embarrassed. Just go. You can even leave your camera off. You can even make up a fake name. I know none of y'all know how to do that, but it can be done. That was supposed to be funny. I guess it missed. All right. Secondly, you start by finding an accountability partner, an A partner, because this is something that you won't kick in isolation. And I said before, my wife is part of my team, but she is not the coach of my team. An accountability partner is the thing that changed my life in this area, and I needed it to be changed. Okay. I've shared a lot, and I've said a lot. And as the worship team goes ahead and comes on forward, I just want to share with you guys, everything that I have said is very pointed. I don't know if it's for you. I don't think that this is just for men. I don't think this is just for women. I think this is for all. I don't think that this is just for somebody that I know of. No, I promise, this is not about one person. This is about all of us. Because this is difficult stuff, not easy to talk about, but incredibly important to talk about. So as I share all of this, know from my heart, as your pastor and as your friend, I want to save your life. I want to keep your life off of the rocks and making them a shipwreck that you will wish that you would have just listened and made the decisions and choices that you could have and should have made. And so I share all of these things with you from my heart, and I will tell you that there are some things in our lives that God will take away immediately, take away instantaneously. I don't think this will be one of them, to be very honest. This is one of those things where I have to show the Lord how serious I am about being a man of integrity. And it's been a battle that I've been fighting since I was a teenager. And I am not done with the battle. I'm 53 years old, but I'm not done with the battle. For most of you, this will not be over for you. It will be something that when you go, and that last breath is taken, that's when it's over. But then the next moment, you stand before the Lord and He says, well done, good and faithful servant, good and faithful. Randy, you were faithful. You weren't perfect, but you were faithful. You fought it with all vigilance. You didn't just say, well, everybody struggles. No, it's not me. And that's not you. It's not you. Don't let it be you. It can't be done alone, but it can't be done without the power of Christ. I am staying away from this stuff, not because it's easy, and not even because of accountability, but because I want to please the one who has said, you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And so I'm trying, Lord. And Lord, may we all decide that that's where we're going to be. That's who we want to be. That's how we want to pursue our life, so that we might be the people you desire for us to be. Not because it's easy, but because it's right. And because you deserve that. Lord, help us. Be with us, direct us, and lead us. Show us people that can hold us accountable. May we make the moves that take this thing out of the darkness and bring it into the holy and pure light of Jesus that cleanses us from the sin that wants to enslave us. Make us whole, make us new, make us fully yours. In Jesus' name I pray.